The story of the Garden of Eden, like the numerous flood narratives of the ancient Near East or the tales of gods who die and return to life, represents a special class of myth called folk memory. These are universal myths predicated on the collective memory of a particular culture or society, regardless of how chimerical that memory may be, and passed down orally from generation to generation. They can be found in some form in almost every religion and among nearly all cultures. Embedded in the myth of the Garden of Eden is a collective memory of an era long ago when human beings were free from toil and struggle, when there was no need to slog day and night over the land. An era, in other words, before the rise of agriculture, when our ancient ancestors, Adam and Eve, were, to put it less biblically, hunter-gatherers. And that is how the ancient city of Urfa has come to be regarded in the collective memory of its inhabitants as the location of the Garden of Eden. Believers will point to the fact that, like the biblical Eden, Urfa is nestled between four rivers, including the Tigris and Euphrates, and that it too is located in what the Bible terms the East, that is, west of ancient Assyria. However, the main reason so many people around the world believe that this city rests upon the ruins of Eden has less to do with Urfa's location than it does with what lies just 10 miles to the northeast, atop a high mountain ridge called Göbekli Tepe, or Pot-bellied Hill. For buried there, just beneath a man-made mound on the very tip of the highest peak overlooking a desolate plateau, are the remains of what is widely recognized to be the earliest religious temple ever constructed, the Temple of Eden, as Klaus Schmidt, the chief archaeologist of the site, playfully calls it. The temple is comprised of 20 or more large enclosures built of mortar and stone. Some of these are circular. Others are oblong. A few of them spiral like galaxies. The entire temple complex stretches 1,000 feet long and 1,000 feet wide. Tucked in the center of each stone enclosure are two matching megalithic T-shaped pillars, some of which stand more than 16 feet high and weigh as much as 10 tons. The central pillars are engraved with images of ferocious beasts and lethal creatures. Lions, leopards, and vultures, scorpions, spiders, and snakes. Nothing like the dreamy, docile creatures found in the painted caves of the Paleolithic era. Alongside these beasts are intricately wrought geometric figures and abstract symbols carved up and down the pillars. The prevailing theory is that they represent a kind of symbolic language, a far more ancient equivalent of Egyptian hieroglyphics, though we lack the key to decipher them.